Today is Sunday, April 15th, 2018, and this...
Meanwhile, visiting teams were being felled by a different malady. At least according to NHL urban legend, the Vegas flu.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 643.
Listen.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just great. Happy to be thinking about and talking about our favorite place, Las Vegas. That is the frame of mind I need to be in today. So let's go there now, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
It'll be a magical journey.
Yes, it will. So before we jump in, we have some people to thank. This podcast is listener supported. Thanks to our Patreon patrons, including Glenn Nagara, Danielle and Tim Malik, Kelly Zancarella, who I believe we'll be hearing from later.
Yay.
Steve McGuire, Paul and Donna Laughlin, Benjamin Copeland. Thank you all very much. We do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to all of our Patreon patrons. If you're wondering what this is about, you can support the show on a monthly basis. You get some bonus content as our way of saying thank you. And that's how it works. Visit patreon.com/500 for all the details. We might have something neat in the works for some of our Patreon people too.
Yeah.
I had an idea this morning and I'm going to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
this,
we call it.
This idea excites me too.
I know. I think I'm going to make it work. I just have to figure out logistics of doing so. So we'll see. All right. So we got a bunch of news to talk about. It's kind of all over the map. Lots of things. Let's start with the latest residency announcement this week. It's been rumored for a while. We talked about it a while ago, and it is now official. Gwen Stefani.
Take this pink ribbon off my
Will you be singing?
Eyes.
No, I can't. I haven't done the singing thing in a long time. I don't think it's going to start this week. Maybe Hollaback Girl might be singing. We'll see. Because that shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
It is.
All right. So you may know of Gwen Stefani from either her solo career or her longtime career in the band No Doubt. For a while, it was rumored that No Doubt might be joining her on this residency, but that is not happening. There is No Doubt as part of this.
But she'll be performing No Doubt songs?
She will. I was looking at her typical set list. In fact, her last show was here in Minneapolis, Super Bowl week. Yeah, she does about, maybe I'd say roughly a third of her set is No Doubt songs. And then the rest is solo, maybe a cover or two. So she spreads it around a little bit, but she, she's got a lot of hit songs between No Doubt and her solo career. And she's going to be doing 25 shows at Planet Hollywood, more than I would have guessed. So let's move on to another song.
Okay.
Her show is called Gwen Stefani, I'm Just a Girl, based on that No Doubt song, I'm guessing, you think. Okay, so 25 shows spread out over June, July, December, February, and March. The theater will be configured for 4,600 seats. They're not going to have the balcony open, so it's a little smaller than... Although I think for most of these residencies, they do have the balcony closed. Because I recall when we saw Backstreet Boys, they said it was the first time that they had expanded it to the full capacity theater, which I think is closer to like 7,000.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, 4,600, maybe... Maybe she'll be able to fill the place.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little skeptical, but it's, I don't know. I think she'll be okay at 4,600.
I think so.
Tickets are $70 and up, plus fees. The standing room pit tickets are $150, but I noticed they have a deal where if you want pit standing room pit and you want to get in early to get the best spot in the pit, $360.
Whoa.
I know. That's a little
much.
If you pay more than twice as much just to get in like half an hour early.
Mm-hmm. And the pit isn't huge. I mean...
No, that's just it. Anywhere that you're standing in there. We were at the back of the pit and we were really close for Brittany, so... Yeah.
I mean, Unless you want to, like, reach out and touch her hand as she's going by or something.
Right.
With her permission, of course.
Yes. I wonder if they'll have a security guy come out and tell them that if she throws her hat, you have to return it to security immediately, mm-hmm. like with Britney. That's a great theater, though. I really like that, and I would, you know, I don't know, $70?
$70 is reasonable, I thought.
I'm not sure to that
yeah.
show. I would maybe consider that. I'm not a huge Gwen Stefani fan, but we enjoyed No Doubt when we saw them.
Yeah.
And you said she put on a pretty good solo show when you saw her.
I didn't see her solo. I saw
oh, that
her
was
with
No Doubt,
no Doubt again.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought that was a solo deal. Okay. Well, then I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Is that new?
No, not at all. It's routine. So, yes, you're hearing some of the hits of Gwen Stefani. If you're interested. I can't hear her or see her now without thinking of...
Melissa Villaseñor.
Yes, the Saturday Night Live performer, Melissa Villaseñor, does a tremendous Gwen Stefani impression.
I have the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's all I think about. In the same way that whenever I see Alicia Keys, I think of the Maria Bamford impression. If you have not seen the Maria... is Maria Villaseñor? Is that her name?
Melissa Villaseñor.
Melissa. If you have not seen that... Do yourself a favor, and not just what she's done at SNL, but go to YouTube and find it. It's like Gwen Stefani around the house. I don't know why it's so funny to me, but I've watched it like 12 times. It's so good. All right. Oh, and finally. I don't want to ruin the song. People are going, this sucks. Why? Not because I'm not singing, but a lot of people hate Gwen Stefani.
Because of this song?
No, just in general.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm not. I'm like I said, I
go. I like
her.
I have positive feelings
Here's
for
the thing.
Her.
I'm
yeah.
only the.
I'm not like mega fan, but I like her.
As a general rule, the lineup that they have at Planet Hollywood, you don't hear many bad reviews for any of those shows.
Yeah.
Even like, I mean, Pitbull, I don't care about at all. But people who've gone to that have said it was a tremendously great time.
Huh.
So you're going to see a great big splashy production, and it's probably going to be a good show.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like Gwen Stefani's music, check it out.
And you're going to see a lot of these performers in a theater that's a lot smaller than if they were to come to your town.
When they're playing an arena.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's enough Buck Gwen. Tickets are on sale already. If anybody goes to this during the early shows in June, we would love a review.
Yes.
All right, speaking of residencies, a quick note about one that's been hanging around Vegas for, last couple of years, I guess.
Will you be playing sound clips from this as
well? I will not be doing so. Reba McEntire and Brooks and Dunn are adding additional dates to their existing Coliseum engagement at Caesar's Palace. They've added shows in 12 shows in October and December. So if you're a fan of that that music, then check it out. We've heard good reviews on that, too. Again, not my thing, but they put on a good show, so... I especially do not like Reba McEntire.
Mm-hmm.
I was making disparaging comments about her face yesterday.
Yep, and you were. That's all I'm going to say.
She's such a goob. I can't look at her without just thinking, she looks like a clown with no makeup. Like, she doesn't need makeup to be clownish. And her music is horrible. Some people like it. So knock yourself out. Go see Reba if you like her. All right. Moving on to a different form of entertainment. We discussed this previously as well, but there are some more details, and tickets are now on sale for the virtual reality attraction that is going to be opening soon at the Venetian at the Grand Canal Shops. It is called Star Wars Secrets of the Empire. This is going to be very popular because Star Wars nerds love their anything related to Star Wars. It opens April 27th, and tickets are on sale now, $40 and up. $40 plus taxes and fees. I think all the tickets are the same price. It's general admission kind of deal. It looks like it would be a really fun thing to do with a group. I think they team you up and you work as a team. So I kind of thought, I might do
this. Team you up and you work as a team? Is that how that works?
Well, if you go in there with your own team, then you wouldn't be teamed up, but shut up. I would do this, but I don't see you wanting to do this.
No.
And I'm not going to go there alone
I
don't want to hang out with seven people I don't know and try to work together with them. That's like my idea of hell. It's like the college project where I end up having to do all the goddamn work.
Okay, let's... Group projects are the worst.
I know.
They're the worst. And especially in grad school where most of you have been in the business world and you already know the hell that is other people.
Yeah.
So, no. Group projects, let's just not.
Preach it, sister. I agree wholeheartedly. So I don't know. This is a little different than a group project, but these kind of things are really popular now. The escape rooms and any of these things where you work together to try to, It seems like a fun thing. If I was there with a bunch of people that were into it, I would go with them, but I don't see myself going alone. This attraction will be open, I think I said April 27th, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays, and an hour later, midnight on Fridays and Saturdays.
I want you and Al from San Diego to form a team and do this.
I think Al might turn on me and take me out with a lightsaber or some other weaponry.
Hmm.
He's not too, he's been mean to me lately.
He's a little unhappy with you right
now. He followed me back on Twitter, though. We're going to hear from Al's alter ego later in the call segment.
Okay.
It's all good, though. Al knows I love him. All right. So the description of this attraction, Star Wars Secrets of the Empire, is a, count the buzzwords now, socially interactive, mm-hmm. breathtaking journey. Will it really take your breath? I don't think it will. It's a journey, though. We get a lot of that these days, too.
We love a journey.
Everything's a fucking journey. You can't get sick without it being a journey now. Remember back in the old days where people just got cancer? No, now it's a cancer journey.
How was your cancer journey?
Oh, it was delightful. Yes. We're coming up on the anniversary of my surgery next Saturday, by the way.
Yeah.
I've been on my On This Day thing in on Facebook has been filled with reminders of such, which is
lovely.
Just wonderful. Yeah. It is nice, though, because people were awesome about it.
Aww.
It was about a year ago at this time that I announced it on the podcast. I was taking a little break in order to have a major organ removed from my insides.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really gross. Anyway, where are we? Journey. Okay, a journey that blends the physical and virtual world. Under the orders of the Rebellion, teams of four guests... Oh, I thought it was eight. Okay, teams of four guests must work together to infiltrate an Imperial base disguised as stormtroopers, where they'll navigate through to steal critical intelligence with help from familiar Star Wars characters along the way. I'm sure it's really fun. I mean...
If I were drunk enough and with the right people, I'd do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Who are the right people? You wouldn't do it just with me, though. So I'm a little puzzled by this. You said, no, I wouldn't. But if I was with the right people.
No. What sure, I mean is, I if it were just the two of us, we might get paired up with two randos. So if we had a group of
care to name specific people that you would do this with?
I don't know. I was just thinking.
No, you don't have to. It's fine. It's just good to know that you wouldn't, that I'm not the right people for you.
You are the right. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I don't want to do it with you and two other strangers.
I'm going to pull that as a sound clip. We're going to use that every week.
God.
Well, I appreciate that, I guess.
We don't have that kind of relationship.
The show is spinning out of control at a rapid pace. All right, so you may see us at the Star Wars thing sometime with two random strangers. Oh, let's move on, shall we?
I mean, it's one thing if you're riding the high roller.
Hey-o.
I'm digging a hole.
You like riding the high roller with strangers? Let's move on. I think we've learned a lot about ourselves this week. Okay, there is a new... Speaking of interactive stuff, well, this isn't really interactive. I don't know. There's a new...
Is it immersive?
Sure, let's say so. There's a new... poker and esports venue coming to Aria. It's a TV studio, so they're going to have televised events, and if you want to be in the audience, it holds 120 people or so. It is run by Poker Go. They're going to be hosting events for Poker Central, which is an online poker site that broadcasts a lot of stuff, including the World Series of Poker, and ESP Gaming, which does esports events. They're going to start with Poker After Dark, cleverly named, filming in mid-May, according to Vegas Inc. So it looks like a pretty neat studio. I'm not sure exactly where in Aria it will be, but...
Would you want to watch people
no.
play poker?
No, you can do that on TV anytime you want. Being in the audience of a live poker thing, no. Not for me. I know the esports thing is really popular, but nah, that's also not for me. Although I do want to check out the place at Luxor just because I'm curious to mm-hmm. see what it looks like and how the food is. And all that stuff, but I don't see myself spending a lot of time there. No. How about you? Do you have an interest in watching people play poker?
No.
Or esports?
No.
All right. There you go.
Would we do that together?
Or with random strangers?
Mm-hmm.
Neither. All right. This next thing is really stupid.
Okay.
If you're a fan of America's most popular sport, professional football, but you wish you could be an integral part of an even shittier version of it? That might be happening soon. There's a thing called the Fan-Controlled Football League, which is in development. The Review Journal reports that the CEO of this up-and-coming thing that's going to fail quickly plans to open an arena in downtown Las Vegas somewhere. It's got to be in Neonopolis. There's no way that it's going to be anywhere other than Neonopolis.
Where shitty ideas go to die.
Although he did say that he wants to be, they want to have it close to gaming. So I suspect maybe they're in talks with some of the hotels down there in that plaza, maybe? I don't know. So they're seeking downtown venues for this thing to open next spring. It'll be 8 teams. They're all going to be housed in Vegas. It's not like teams from different cities. I don't know if they'll just like, so they have 8 teams from the same place. Are you going to be like a fan of, I don't get this. Anyway, so the way that it works is fans vote on plays using an interactive device or probably your smartphone. You can watch it and vote on Twitch or on the league's app. I guess that's how it'll work. The quarterback then, based on the voting, will execute the most voted for play on the field.
This sounds really slow and painful and boring.
I know, it totally does. Fans.
And are the players people, is it like a fantasy team of existing players?
No,
or what?
I don't think so.
What?
No, it's going to be I would doubt it. I suppose they could have like former players or something, mm-hmm. but no, this is like a new league. It's like arena football, but shittier, I guess. Fans even pick the team's names, logos, coaches, and players. What? How does that work? So are they just going to have a bunch of players out there and then the people vote for which players go on which team? I don't know how this works, but regardless of how it functions, it sounds really stupid.
Okay, this is real. This is like you have actual bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's not like a video thing.
No. No, you sit in the stands.
Uh-huh.
And then you tell the you vote on what the quarterback does next, and then he will do that.
Why don't you just act out the plays in your cubicles every Monday like the guys who sit in the next aisle?
Why don't you just play fucking Madden on PlayStation or whatever?
Yeah.
Xbox. It's video games, but it's a video game, but with real people acting it out. I don't get it at all.
I don't either.
So apparently this league is vetting a few different properties in the city, but has declined to say which ones. And it's got to be in Neonopolis. Where dreams go to die. Mm-hmm. If this sounds good to anybody, post something on Facebook about why you would be interested in this. I'm really curious. I don't see anything appealing about
fantasy football to an extent.
Yeah, I do too.
Even though I don't participate in it, I get why people are interested. But this does not. This is dumb.
It really is. You know, I enjoy watching football. I can't imagine going, I wish that I could tell the quarterback what to do now as a committee with everybody else who's here. Sounds horrible. And then, yeah, it's going to take time between plays. And it sounds like between every play, it'd be like having instant replay. That's like, okay, now we have to wait for people to vote. You have 25 seconds to get your vote in. And now the quarterback is going to throw a bomb down the field. It's just... This sounds really bad. So what are the chances of this even happening? It was announced at the National Association of Broadcasters Conference, but I'm thinking this ever getting off the ground, 15%.
Yeah.
And if it does, one season is what I'm setting the over-under at. It might not even make it a full season. It sounds just really, really bad.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste any more time thinking about this.
Okay, we're done thinking about this. If it happens, we'll talk about it. Or no, I suppose we'll talk about it if they announce a venue, and then if it actually comes off and becomes a thing after that.
I have no more fucks to allocate to this. Let's move on.
We're giving no more fucks about this. Okay, let me get your feedback on this also seemingly horrible idea. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Neonopolis... There are plans to open a cannabis museum called Cannabition in July of this year at the downtown kind of mall entertainment complex.
Graveyard.
It will include an in-the-round immersive theater.
Oh, I love immersive theater.
I threw immersive in there, but, you know, I'm sure that that's described somewhere in the materials on this particular venue. The Review Journal reports it will also display the world's largest blown glass bong. So that's something if you've ever wanted to see a big bong. Now, here's the fun part about it. Cannabis will not be sold at the museum, and you will not be able to use it at the museum.
Boo.
So,
what's the point?
I can't wait to go learn about cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're overestimating their target audience's desire to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Admission is only $4.20, which might be about $4.20 too much. You have to be 21 or older to go. The new attraction is expected to close by November. And that's my guess.
When we were talking about this, when I first
discovered it, went, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know who it appeals to.
Yeah. I mean, I could maybe see if they had, like, Laser Floyd or something, where you imbibe before you go, and then you have this...
That's at the Container Park, where they have that shit.
Oh, right.
You can go down to their domed theater.
You're correct. I keep saying right, and I hate that.
And you want to get...
Because you just complained about panelists using that word.
Yeah, I could complain about that later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who this is appealing to. I can't imagine it's going to last long.
Yeah. It would be one thing if it were like a brewery and you could get samples at the end.
Well, that's another thing, too. So I've seen comparisons to that. Like, oh, it's a brewery tour. But no, you know,
no.
I would be interested in going to a pot farm. Yeah, it's essentially a pot farm. It'd be interesting to see how they grow that stuff.
Yeah.
That I would get. But going to a museum, that's a different thing. And it's not as it wouldn't be as interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see it as an equal to a brewery tour. And like you said, no samples, so...
Yeah.
Boo. I don't know. I don't know who this appeals to, but it sounds like it's going to happen. Maybe since it's only $4 in the name of science, I'd be willing to go see it just to
rip on it for the show?
No, just to see if they changed my mind, and if I see, like, oh, this is really interesting. I'm not that interested in what, like, the history of weed and the... I don't know. I don't know why... I don't know who this is supposed to appeal to. All right, moving on. After you've had some weed, you can go have some ramen on Fremont Street. There's a new ramen restaurant, according to Eater, coming to Fremont East. It's going to be called Shinya Ramen. It's going to be located in the Emergency Arts Building, which is where the recently opened Eureka is now housed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a space behind that on 6th Street and Fremont. They're going to have some outdoor seating on 6th Street as well. And that is where the ramen restaurant will be. It's expected to open within 6 months. Now, you may recall that there was a ramen restaurant in the same general neighborhood called Itsy Bitsy about a year ago, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It did not last long. Now, this is closer to Fremont Street, so maybe it will do better. That was one block over, really just around the corner from where this is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see if there's an audience for this. Ramen seems to be a really big thing, but it hasn't done well at a couple of the places we've talked about mm-hmm. in Vegas.
It's fine, but there are... It's not, like, super high on my list of must-have foods in Vegas.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too.
Like
Half the time, it's really hot in Las Vegas, and the last thing I want is a big bowl of soup.
Mm-hmm.
So, we shall see. We'd love reviews once it opens. I'm sure we'll talk about it again when they have an actual opening date. All right, speaking of downtown, if you follow me on Twitter, you saw me tweeting frantically a couple nights ago when I discovered some more potential facts about the 18 Fremont Project. Which, of course, I am obsessed with. So, because new stuff in Vegas. When we last talked about this, we had very few details other than just generalities about what they had applied for. And this is the old Las Vegas club space, if you're not familiar. It has been completely demolished down to the ground. And they're going to build something new and shiny and wonderful. So, we're wondering what it's going to be. And we're trying to glean any information we can from things like building permits. Preliminary permits. Requests have been filed with the city, and initially some of the details were blacked out and they no longer are. So here's what has been requested via said permits. And it's a lot of numbers, so it's kind of hard to, like, it's, you certainly can't get too excited about it, but
you are anyway.
I am, just because something new is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the permit calls for the most important part, casino space.
Okay.
117,740 square feet is what they are requesting permission to, or requesting approval for. That would be way larger than anything downtown. You know, like Binion's is 80,000 square feet, but of course Binion's, there's a ton of dead space that's included in that.
Like the walkway to the
old poker room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the cheap t-shirts that they're selling in back.
Yeah, I think that's probably all considered gaming space. So 117,740 square feet would be pretty comparable to Wynn Las Vegas, not including Encore. However, it should be noted that these are very preliminary plans, and generally with this sort of thing, the strategy is to get approval for the largest possible space, mm-hmm. and then as the designs are refined, to pare it down, because you don't want to have to go back to the city and ask for approval again, which you have to do if you were to ask for more space.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's less space, you're covered.
Yeah.
No need to seek approval again. So the chances of it actually being a 117,000 square foot casino is probably pretty slim, but that is what they're seeking approval for. In fact, So then, of course, being a complete geek, I'm like, well, how big is the footprint for that space? It's bigger than the old Las Vegas Club because the parking ramp was on that same block, as well as Girls of Glitter Gulch and Mermaids, and there was an office. So there's a lot of other stuff in that space. So it's quite a bit bigger than Las Vegas Club, but even so, it's roughly 120,000 square feet, I believe. So it's not like they're going to have the whole first floor be casino space. Mm-hmm. And they could put some on the second floor, too, if they wanted to. Like, for example, let's say they were going to have a restaurant on the second floor. I have no idea if any of this would happen. If they wanted to video poker at the bar in the restaurant, I suppose that would all be considered gaming space. They need to have approval for that now. So anyway, approval for a very big space, whether or not it comes off as that large or larger than the Binion space, time will tell. The hotel approval that they're seeking is 713,840 square feet. I have no idea what that's comparable to. Hard to find details on how much hotel square footage these different places have. We previously reported 459 feet tall. That would be the maximum. And then parking, this I did find somewhat noteworthy because the square footage for parking is actually more than the hotel space at 817,605 square feet. Now the parking ramp will presumably be in the lot that, that Derek and Greg Stevens own across from this project between Plaza and Main Street Station. Where the old Main Street Station train used to be. Mm-hmm. So that's, last I heard, that was the plan for the parking ramp, which makes sense. And I don't have it queued up, but I can only imagine that perhaps the parking ramp will be connected by an air-conditioned umbilical hallway. You're tired of that? Tired of that shtick?
I just could see it coming a mile away.
I know, but I didn't queue up the, I forgot to, I had issues with my playlist this morning, and I don't have that on there right now. So as I mentioned, these things will likely come down in size from these numbers, and as details progress, we will report on them more, and I look forward to similar details coming out about, like, Resorts World and other things that are in development.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to speculate.
Yes.
Oh, the next couple of years are going to be so much fun with building projects and things being announced and, like, new restaurants. Like, we're going to have all this stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
It has been.
All right. What else? Nothing on that. Okay. Finally, before we move on, remember a couple weeks ago we talked about that piece of shit sham of an honor called the Las Vegas Walk of Stars?
Yes, I do recall that.
That I just have such contempt for. Mm-hmm. Oh, we thought it was going to be gone and dead. Nope. It's been resurrected. The Review Journal reports this morning that the Link Promenade will be used for the stars from the Las Vegas Walk of Fame. The fine folks at Caesars Entertainment are allowing them to use a space near the High Roller to display their stars of a bunch of people you've never heard of.
So they're going to lift up the existing ones or create new ones?
Well, I think some of them were destroyed.
Some of them were destroyed, yeah. But...
No, I do not know. So I don't know if they're...
by the bollards.
If they're pulling up those that have not already been displaced, or if they're just going to put the displaced stars in this space. Do not know.
Do not care.
Do not care. They are going to be inducting somebody new into the Las Vegas Walk of Stars, according to this article, and it's some Telemundo reporter that nobody has ever heard of.
Huh.
Again, and she's hosting like some award show or something. What the fuck? Oh, yeah, that's the person who deserves to be honored on the Las Vegas Walk of Stars. Somebody who's coming to town for a day to... Maybe she works at the Telemundo Studios at Neonopolis. Mm-hmm. Is that still open?
I don't know. I just remember the sign.
I hate the Las Vegas Walk of Stars so much. Have you noticed?
I have. Should we take your blood pressure right now?
No, let's not. All right. Let's get to some phone calls. We have some wonderful reports from some wonderful listeners. And we're going to start off with Kelly.
Hey, guys. It's Kelly from Canada calling again. And I thought I would call back to talk about the hotel I stayed at, which was Mandarin Oriental. And it was stellar this time. It was exactly what I needed. I wanted a chill, relax, secluded trip. I struggled for a long time with Aria Corner Suite versus Mandarin. But in the end, the cheaper rate, shockingly, at Mandarin and loyalty program perks really paid off and won me over. We ended up getting an upgrade to a studio room and an extended checkout till 4 p.m., which is no small feat. And they seem to charge for everything now, obviously, so it was really nice to get that. Our room was about 200 square feet then. A standard room is there, and just really nicely appointed, a little bit weird setup, but worked out for us because my husband typically stays up really late, and I would wake up really early, so it was like a separate area to get ready and be quiet and not disturb the other person. I didn't really understand the power of Mandarin service until my second stay. It became really evident the sort of profile and information they keep on you. I didn't have to tell them what newspaper I wanted, that I prefer sparkling water with turn down, just kind of crazy stuff like that. I also had an incident my last day in 2015 when a maintenance man walked into our room at about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was pretty upset. Not surprisingly, but they actually remembered it, and the person checking us in this time apologized, the manager, and there was a handwritten note in our room as well apologizing, and that was kind of shocking. Also, some chocolates were waiting for us, and a buckwheat pillow I had emailed ahead to ask for. My husband prefers that. They actually had options on pillows, which is awesome. So, I also visited the spa. I normally just go for a day pass, but this time I went for the full meal deal. And it's getting a 2-hour treatment of a scrub and a massage. I've only ever had physio massages or like Thai massages on beaches in Thailand. So this was extraordinary and I'm totally hooked and will be returning, whenever the budget agrees in the future. It was just unreal luxury, totally decadent and just a really nice way to start my trip. Another thing I like about the property is that it's really quiet. You don't see a lot of other guests or people. You do see Pepper the robot, which is kind of a weird thing. No one really knew what to do with it, but we did some selfies with it and had some fun. I hope to get back there again soon. We'll see if the rates agree. But anyway, I really love that property, and they really won me over after that first disastrous day. I will probably call back in a little bit with a review of Opium. Take care, guys. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. We appreciate it. We don't hear about Mandarin Oriental often.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to get a full review. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I like the idea that they have this. I can just imagine now, of course, everything is tracked in their database, I'm sure. But I have this image of Kelly making a reservation and they urgently go to the back and open a big file cabinet and pull out this thick folder with her dossier. Everything they've learned about her so they can make her trip absolutely perfect. Data from Facebook, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's very cool. Glad you had a good time. And we will be hearing more from her with a review of Opium shortly. All right. Should we get on to this next guy?
Sure.
It's Al from San Diego, despite what he calls himself. An Al by any other name is still an Al.
Hey, Tim, Michelle. It's the Hunkelman, Jack Hunkelman Jr., live and well. Calling with a brief review of something me and Al from San Diego did. We dined at Blue Ribbon at the Cosmopolitan before the Opium show. And I think that this is an excellent restaurant. As a matter of fact, I started off with an old-fashioned. It was phenomenal. Probably the best old-fashioned I've had in years, and I have them regularly. I mean, Al does. And we looked at the menu. It's all over the place. There's Southern food, New American. You can go seafood. There's one of the trendy raw bars available. You like a raw bar, don't you, Tim? And we did it wrong. It was mostly me, Hunkelman, not Al. We ordered kind of all over the map. And one of our servers said, you know, I can appreciate what you're trying to do here. When I go to a new restaurant, I want to sample everything. But if she tried to talk us into just kind of looking at the menu as having four different progressions. You can do Southern food. You can do the seafood. You can order surf and turf and have some nice appetizers and salads. Which, by the way, everything we tasted was good, but we kind of went all over the place. We tried some of the raw bar stuff. We had the pork ribs, which come with a little hibachi to crisp them up, which is kind of fun. And salad, soup. They had an incredible special, which was a hanger steak with a lobster, which was, I think, $67, I think. The lobster weighed 3 pounds. It's the biggest lobster I've been served in a restaurant in a long time. And I want to make a note on their raw bar and on if you're ordering big crustaceans there. They give you the tools. They're not doing a lot of – they're giving it to you, and you've got to be an animal to eat, to go for it. It's not all cut up nice and pretty for you. Anyway, my point about Blue Ribbon is I think this – everything we tried was excellent, but if you go there – go down one road, order an entree, maybe an app and a salad, and maybe split a salad and a soup. Be careful because the portions are huge, and it's not the kind of place where you're really going to get a sense of the restaurant your first visit. You're going to have to go a couple of times, try their southern stuff, try their seafood, go down the new American path they've created. But mixing those different worlds is a no-no. So that's my advice about that. Service was excellent. Restaurant is very comfortable, and it's what you'd expect at a nice resort like the Cosmopolitan. But don't overdo it there. It's not the kind of place.
And then he hit the 3-minute time limit, and Mr. Aww. Hunkelman was cut off. Oh, I'm exhausted even thinking about going to that restaurant now.
Didn't we have a caller last week who said they ordered a bunch of appetizers, and by the time the main course came around, they were stuffed?
Possibly. I don't recall. We've heard good things about Blue Ribbon, but I don't know. It seems like a lot of work.
The portions are huge.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work to have to go back multiple times to decide whether or not you really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put that much effort. And again, anytime they need to explain the menu to you, I'm out. It's a menu. It's a list of food you can order. If you need to explain it to me, you're doing it wrong.
Okay.
I hate that. Oh, is this your first time here? Does it matter? Let me explain the menu. I assume it's a list of food that I can order and purchase and put in my mouth.
Maybe they want to point out some of the things that are the most popular so that you may try them.
Fine, let me tell you about our specials, but I don't need an explanation of the menu. If you need to explain your menu, it is not a good menu. I don't like this. I'm not going to Blue Ribbon. Would you go to the Star Wars exhibit with Jack Hunkelman and or Al from San Diego?
Maybe. I'm not committing to anything at this point.
That's probably a good idea, especially when it comes to Hunkelman. I don't trust that bastard. All right, moving along. Anything else about Blue Ribbon? Do you want to go there? I'd go there if you wanted to go there.
Part of me wants to go there to see you be uncomfortable, but then... No, there are other places I'd probably want to try first or revisit first.
All right. I'm sure it's wonderful.
But we've heard really good things about the food. Uh-huh. But yeah. I don't know. I'm open to it, but it's not like on my list of, all right, next trip we got to go there.
Noted. All right. Well, this might be a place that you want to try on our next trip. Let's hear about it from Corey.
Hi, it's Corey from Seattle. I'm on day 3 of my Vegas adventure, and I just moved downtown. And while my wife was taking a nap, I decided I'm going to go to Bomb Tacos. I saw her just opened up, and I love tacos. So the Bomb Tacos. Bomb Tacos are the bomb. I had a braised brisket, which was served in a crispy shell, which was amazing. And then also I had a carne asada, because I always love carne asada. It's a great little place. Just, you know the whole deal. It's just, a block off of Fremont. It's just a great little... small little hole-in-the-wall place. It's, quiet. Wasn't a lot going on there, but they seem to be really friendly. So I hope they do well. So I encourage everyone to go out of the way and go get some tacos at Bomb Tacos.
All right. That's quite an endorsement.
I'm convinced.
I think I will be checking out Bomb Tacos. It's on Carson, just a block off Fremont, as he mentioned. I think it's the old bald guy's two bald brothers Mediterranean short-lived place. Okay. I think that's where it is. There've been a bunch of openings and closings, but there's only so many restaurants over there. It won't be hard to find. Okay. Let's get back to Kelly. And let's hear about opium.
Hey guys, Kelly from Canada once more to talk about opium. So I liked the show, but probably because I had no expectations and also probably because I got tickets at a discount. I I've read some of the reviews online that have been coming out since the show started to be produced and put on. And it's kind of shocking to see how wide of a range of people who love it and hate it are. Some people are super into it. Some people really, really fucking hate it. And I think the common thread there is that a lot of people say, don't go expecting Absinthe. And I think a lot of people may think that it's going to be exactly like Absinthe. I don't think Opium is, well, I'm not sure if it's going to be popular or not yet because there's a few things working against it. I think the name is kind of weirdly deceptive and they need to really make a name for themselves for people to understand it's space themed. It's obviously a lot less circus freaky than Absinthe. It's more surreal, variety, like Dick and like tit humor, I guess.
I love
really
Dick and tit humor.
Stuff, which we all need more of in our lives, right? Definitely saw some tits, some nips, and some sacks in the show. I got a lot of joy out of watching the audience, you know, sort of just be horrified or not enjoy it or be scared about being called upon, which is something I lived in terror of, too. As soon as I found out it was an audience participation show, I was like, oh, fuck, what did I get into? Basically, my recommendation is don't sit anywhere in the front row, up and down the aisles in that first seat, or anywhere near the back, because you're more likely to get involved at that point. Anyone in the middle seemed a little more safe, but I can't guarantee you're not going to get pulled up on stage. There's dashes of cheesy nostalgia, space kitsch. I also, like Al, really like the sword swallowing act. It's audience participation. I know, it's shocking, but done in a hilarious way, kind of snarky. Yeah, so, like, a lot more music than Absinthe. As a nerd, I think it's a great way to blow an hour and a half. I'm curious to see how it continues to develop and what everyone else has to say in the coming weeks and months as they call in and they keep working on their show. Anyway, talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for that report. We do appreciate it. Still not quite there on it.
I was going to say, did that change your mind about seeing Opium?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm not completely shut down on it, but I'm kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
Audience participation. I'm sure it's hilarious, and I like, you know, crude humor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not opposed to seeing a sack on stage. Do the audience participation people have risk of showing their sacks? I'm guessing no. I'd show my sack if called upon.
What?
If I were pulled out of the audience and involved showing my sack for some reason, I could be convinced.
I have nothing to say.
I know. That's why I said it. I knew it would horrify you.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really do that. Maybe I would. All right, moving along.
Hey, guys. It's Tony in Los Angeles calling with a quick 24-hour trip report I had earlier this week. Drove up from Los Angeles, checked into the Plaza, and the check-in was really fast. I was surprised by that because I heard it was horrible, but they have these kiosks that make it really painless. Asked for a quiet room, got a quiet room, and couldn't hear a single peep from the Fremont Street Experience, which I was worried about since the Las Vegas Club isn't there to block noise, but I didn't hear a thing. The room was clean, a little worn, and just fine. It was unbelievably boring, actually. The room is unbelievably boring. There's one nice picture, a vintage picture of the Plaza that they have up on the wall, but otherwise it is really plain. The furniture is looking dated. I couldn't get two of the lamps to work. The bathroom is unbelievably small, so small to the point where when I went into the restroom to establish dominance, I sat down and actually hit my head on the doorknob. That's how small that bathroom is. Went down, did a bit of a coupon run up and down the Fremont Street, played a little poker at the Golden Nugget. Wound up being a bit overserved in the poker room, needed some good drunk food, and wandered into America Coney, where I had a couple of Coney dogs, and then not satisfied on my drunk food, my drunk food requirements, noticed the White Castle and sort of stumbled over there and ate a White Castle. So indigestion and all, I wandered down to the El Cortez, where I played some cheap blackjack. They have those beer bartenders that wander around the pit. That was really nice just to be able to order and be served immediately. The beer is really cold and the service is really good.
I'm not familiar with this.
That night,
I'm curious about this.
Yeah.
They have like portable taps on their backs, or how does this work? I was unfamiliar with the, I don't play a lot of table games, but I've not heard about the El Cortez beer tenders. I like it. I hope that his plumbing at his room in Plaza held up after...
I was going to say, did he have to establish dominance again after...
the American Coney White Castle combo?
Mm-hmm.
That would be trouble. They had to clear the entire floor after he was... Oh, boy. Okay, continuing on.
Would see Brilliant at the Neon Boneyard, which was really good. It was not very expensive. I think it was $23 or something like that. The people there who work there are super nice, super enthusiastic. It's unbelievably well organized. The show is really interesting and novel and beautiful for about 8 or 10 minutes. It's about a 25-minute show. It got a little redundant for me, but I have to say I've never seen anything like it. So if you're a Neon Boneyard person, you're going down there anyway, it makes sense to tack that on to the experience. Went over to Main Street Station, was shocked to see that Long Bar is having some sort of septic problem and was shut down. And
I should clarify, he's talking about the Boar's Head Bar at Main Street Station. It was shut down for a while. That would be disappointing.
Yeah.
That's a great bar. It's open now.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray.
There's really not another good place to sit at the bar and be served for free and play video poker. So that's a quick meal at the restaurant there. It was fine. Wandered over to the Cal to get Lambert's ice cream. That was really good. And then made my way back to the Plaza where I played some blackjack and had the single worst cocktail of my life. They serve it in these horrible plastic cups. Served the world's worst cocktail. I ordered, I don't know what I was thinking, I needed something sweet, so I ordered an amaretto sour of all things, and it tasted like someone pissed in my Sprite. It was just the worst. And as I said, they served them in these cheesy plastic cups at the Plaza. Horrible. Next morning, checkout was a breeze. Went and ate at Eat. Always fabulous. Grabbed a donut for the road, a donut bar, something with a Pop-Tart baked into it. Really good. And I was on my way 24 hours later. So really good trip. Had a great time. Thanks for all you do. Love the podcast. See ya.
Thanks for the report. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Good to hear about some interesting things you did. Alrighty. Final call. We haven't had one of Alonzo's patented, trademarked, registered, all rights reserved bathroom reviews in a while. I, for one, am entertained by them. Don't know how other people feel.
I am also entertained.
All right. Let's hear what he's up to this week.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Alonzo. And, hey, I made it to the Mandalay Bay this time. And would you believe it? I'm standing next to the bathroom. This would be, I think, as close as I can come to the main casino bathroom at the Mandalay Bay, over by the Starlight Tattoo and the escalators that go up to the tram. So that's the bathroom I'm near. And I like this bathroom. The biggest thing was right when I walked in, though, I got a good smash of bathroom smell. Not a good start, but it finished well. As you walk in, it's got the normal little S-curve, so you can't see around the corner. But then it's a donut-shaped bathroom. Off to the right was at least a dozen urinals, maybe more. And opposite the urinals were all the toilets. So nice to have all that on one side. And then on the other side of the donut were all the sinks, so that you didn't have people pissing and washing in the same, you know, you kind of went around the corner. Kind of nice. I liked it that way. Beautiful marble in the whole bathroom. The urinals had a nice Gerber urinal, which meant that it had a nice flat top. So there wasn't actually a beverage holder, but there was a place to put your beverage. And it didn't slide off. Nice brown marble there to keep your interest. Short urinal walls, not a problem. Very good. The bathroom doors were floor to ceiling, which was kind of nice. Keeps it nice and tidy. And lots of automatic sinks. Now, I guess most people are invisible to the automatic sinks. It took me 3 sinks to actually get water that worked. And then as I was washing my hands at sink number 3, yeah, that's when sink number 1 decided to just spit out water for I don't know who. It just turned on. So, anyway, really liking the bathrooms here at Mandalay. Very nice. And I'll talk to you later. All right. Bye.
Thank you for that report, sir. Always appreciate it. My question for you is, what do you think has the lower hit percentage? Getting a an automated sink that both the sink and soap dispensers work on the first try, or the sliding key card in your hotel room Ooh. Working on the first try? I hate the sliding key cards because they rarely work first try, but I think that might be a slightly higher hit percentage.
The thing with the sink is there are usually multiple sinks. You can go to another
right.
one.
Right. Exactly. So at least that's key a little
card,
more convenient.
Not so much.
But I do end up having to often like make my way, start on one end of this, you know, sinks and make my way down until I find one that will recognize my hand motions as I'm trying to conjure up water like a wizard. I think I've used that before. But then half the time, the soap dispenser on the
water that you finally get working, the soap dispenser won't work. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the automatic flushing toilets where you sit down and it flushes before you're ready?
Those are, I would imagine, a problem as well.
Mm-hmm. They are.
A lady problem or a male shitting problem. Did you see the study did you see the report about the hand blowers in public restrooms?
No, but you told me about it.
Yeah, there's a study that came out recently, published in, I believe, an academic journal, so it's legit, that those hand blowers that are supposed to be sanitary are blowing fecal matter onto your hands. So keep that in mind. Might want to just wipe them on the old pantaloons.
If you're into wearing pants.
Or shorts or t-shirt or whatever.
Okay.
If they don't have the paper towels available.
Yeah.
I prefer the paper towels. I'm not a big fan of the automated paper towel dispenser either, where because you never get the right amount of paper towel
mm-hmm.
from
it's
just
too
one.
Too much or too little?
Yeah, you have to get... No, it's never too much.
Oh, it's never too much?
Yeah. Minimum of two, usually three.
Oh, sometimes I'll wave it and it'll like spit out the whole long thing where it's...
Never enough.
Oh.
All right, moving along. We have some people to thank for Karma donations this week. A whole bunch of very generous people. Let's thank them now, shall we?
Sure.
Our friend Melanie, one of the debutantes of debauchery, with a Karma donation for an upcoming Vegas trip in May. She said, mahalo for keeping me company in Hawaii last week. We weren't actually in Hawaii last week, but apparently she was listening to us.
Ah.
And then this Karma donation was a winning bet she placed for... that's right. She asked me which NCAA tournament team to bet on, and I said Villanova. Mm. And indeed, they won the whole thing. So, and then she tried to convince me that I would enjoy Hamilton. Didn't work.
No.
Next up, a very generous individual who's been supporting the show for a long time, Jim from Liberty Skis.
Yay.
Just hit my second Royal ever last night at Cosmo. Yay. And then supposedly spotted Tim and Michelle doppelgangers. I don't want to see what they look like. Because there's nothing worse than somebody going, oh yeah, they look just like you, and you see what they look like, and they're like, oh. Either no they don't, or I hope not. Anyway. Note that I would not have found the 9.6 Jax or Better machine without the VP Free 2 tip. Yep, VPFree2.com is a great source for video poker information, if you're wondering, that he heard about on the show. So thanks, Jim. We appreciate it. You're awesome. Listener Bob and Beth, a contribution to the 500 the Musical Fund.
All right.
Apparently I'm supposed to be working on 500 the Musical, my version of Hamilton, but about this show, I don't know. Leslie, with a Karma donation, four nights at the end of
Please
April.
Please don't rap.
Hmm?
Please don't rap.
Why? You don't think I'd be good at rapping?
I do not think you'd be good at rapping. I don't think I'd be good at rapping either, to be fair.
I come up with some dope rhymes for you. I'll keep them to this house, though.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, Leslie with a Karma donation, four nights at the end of April with her friend Mandy for a 9-ball tournament. Thank you, Tim and Michelle, for everything you do. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Leo and Zaz. Hey, guys. Karma donation here from Alaska. Zaz is taking Leo to Vegas this weekend for his... I don't know what that means.
Birthday.
We're ignoring his age?
Yes.
All right. Wish Leo luck. Good luck, Leo.
Good luck.
Staying downtown at El Cortez. Don't knock it. We don't knock it. We love El Cortez.
We enjoy El Cortez a lot.
I think we've stayed at the Cabana Suites more than any other Las Vegas hotel.
Yeah.
It's close. It's one of the top three for sure. They got a lot of stuff planned. Hiking in the desert. Leo's going to be sipping Bud Light Chilados. That sounds horrible. Next to a warm Flintstone slot machine all night. We listen and love you guys. Wish us luck. Good luck.
Good luck.
All right. I hope you have a good time. Yes. Sergio with a Karma donation celebrating his mom's 60th birthday at the D. She thinks I'm flying direct from Las Vegas to Nebraska or to Las Vegas from Nebraska and doesn't know I've booked the seat. I'm booked for the seat next to her on her flight from MSP.
Oh, awesome. That's cool.
And I believe I believe I saw that he hit a royal flush.
Yay.
I think he posted a royal flush on the Facebook group. So that is awesome. Jeffrey, hi, Tim and Michelle. Here's a Karma donation for my guy trip this weekend. Thanks for your insights, news, and good humor. Thank you, Jeffrey. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Rebecca and Eric, Karma donation for our Vegas trip this weekend, celebrating our 5th anniversary. Love the podcast. Thanks for all you do. Well, thank you and happy anniversary.
Yes.
They keep them coming. We've got 3 more. Jennifer. Jennifer, celebrating my birthday, ACM weekend, and getting sun on my face. Oh, I'd love to have sun on my face right now.
I know.
We're going
seasonal affective disorder is real.
I know. We're going through some weather issues here. Life is good. I bet life is good, Jenny. I'm very, very jealous of you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for connecting all of us who have a love for Las Vegas. Well, thank you for being part of it, and thank you for supporting the show.
Yep.
All right, Mickey and Chris from Chicago and Chicago-ish. I think they call that the general Chicagoland area. Karma donation for the happiness and success your content brought us last summer's trip, and for giant jackpots we plan to reap upon our return to Mecca next week. Oh, I hope you do.
I hope so.
We hope to enjoy this week's episode on our flight out Monday morning. Enjoy it. That might be a little bit of a stretch, but you'll get to hear it. Hoping you can find a Mac sitter and enjoy us and join us. I wish we could too, but
yeah,
not happening quite yet. Finally, Lou in the UK. She has a tradition of posting a bet for us in the Grand National Horse Race in the UK. And the horse that we both picked, I picked to win, you picked to place, actually won.
Uh-huh.
So it was very nice.
That was exciting.
Thank you very much for that that nice bet on our behalf. We appreciate it. All right. Whew. Thank you, guys. Wow.
That was very nice. Yeah.
A lot of generous listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else before we wrap up?
Nope.
All right. I think we covered a lot of territory today.
We did.
We covered Neonopolis. We covered the fan football league being ridiculous. We're not going to the weed museum. What did we cover that? Gwen Stefani. That was a positive thing we had to talk about.
Mm-hmm. What about the Star Wars interactive
Star Wars,
thing?
I'm down with that. And some weird stuff came out of that. Let's not recap that. All right. 500bymidnight.com is our website. 500@gmail.com is the place to send your Dear Tim and Michelle questions if you have them. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, the voicemail line is available to you all the time, anytime, day or night, night or day, 24 hours a day, whenever. 702-866-9494 is the phone number. Save it in your phone. Call us when you're in Las Vegas. We'd love to hear your thoughts. All right. That's it for this week. We'll be back soon with another one. Thanks, as always, for listening, emailing. I'm talking really fast. I'm like... Blah, 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 blah.
Did you have a lot of caffeine today?
No, more than usual. I'm back on the caffeine bus, by the way, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't resist. All right. That's a story for another day. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and also calling. We appreciate it. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.